Our first Bible reading spoke of the Christian faith on three occasions as the answer to what was previously a mystery, a puzzle. And I'm aware that many of us, perhaps even most, are drawn in many other contexts to the process of uncovering a mystery or a puzzle. Quite a lot of people enjoy crosswords or jigsaws. You may know the story of the man who boasted to his wife that he'd been able to complete a jigsaw he bought himself in what he was convinced was the record time of only 3 months. His wife was a bit surprised because it didn't look that complicated to her, and she asked how he knew it was a record. Well, he said, it did say 8 to 10 years on the box. Others of us are fascinated by science, finding out the mysteries of how the universe works, right from the movements of the galaxies down to the minutiae of subatomic particles, not forgetting how life works in between too. One of the most popular types of fiction, whether in print or on our TV screens, is the whodunit. Not, I hope, because we like the thought of someone being murdered, but because we're intrigued at seeing the process of the mystery being solved. Whether we're particularly good at these things or not, it's amazing how many of us like to find mysteries and puzzles to ponder on, and ideally to sort out. And alongside these everyday mysteries and puzzles, there are of course a whole load of even greater mysteries which human beings down the ages have reflected on. As we've looked out at the night sky or up into space and wondered, are the inhabitants of planet Earth alone in the universe? Or is there someone, anyone out there, either other forms of life on the same kind of level as us, or deciding what we make of the widely held claim of there being a God, a supreme being who's responsible for everything we can see? All of which might have an impact too on the rather different question, what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? What is the wisest way to use the life we've been given? And what of the future for us as individuals? Is our earthly life all there is? Or is there something more after we die? And what about the future of our world as well? Some, I'm aware, have no real interest in those kind of issues. Much better, they say, to get on with life rather than waste it with fruitless speculations. Maybe adding the view that wiser minds than ours have spent time thinking about these things, but with no clear answers anyway, so why bother? But even if we as human beings are unable in our own thinking to do any more than scratch the surface in the face of these important but enormous questions, what if there is a God? And what if he has decided to reveal at least some of the answers? More than that, to reveal himself to the human race. For that's the central claim of the Bible and the Christian faith, that God has chosen to make his existence and purpose known to us by coming to our world in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Through the life and ministry of Jesus, God has chosen not only to confirm that he's really there, but more than that, to communicate what he's like. We see too, both in Jesus' dynamic teaching and in his perfect life, an example of how God wants us to live, the kind of life each one of us was made for. And then through Jesus' death and resurrection, we see a clear pointer to the future, both for every single believer and for the world he's made. To spell out some detail, first of all, in regard to what Jesus shows us about God, in Jesus' love and welcome for all, we see God's love and welcome, even for the outcast. In Jesus' miracles, we see God's absolute power displayed, that nothing is impossible for him. In Jesus' prayer for those who crucified him, we see God's heart, even for those who would want to reject him. Then again, in regard to what Jesus says about the best way for each one of us to live our lives, his teaching and his parables though first given 2,000 years ago, still have a power to guide and to inspire. The parable of the Good Samaritan, for example, challenges us about our duty, not just to our own kind, but to all who are in need of help and support, and speaking to people down the generations and the centuries in an amazingly powerful way. And then finally, Jesus' resurrection, which though it's partly there to give us proof about who he was, is seen as well in the scriptures as setting the pattern for all who are his followers. For us too, death will not be the end, but rather a doorway to a new kind of life in God's presence, a new kind of world to boot. To borrow the language of our first Bible reading, in Jesus Christ, matters that were previously hidden, what had been mysteries, have now been disclosed to all who are open to hear. As the writer, the Apostle Paul, puts it, verse 26, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. There are many other details of this which could be focused on, but I want to finish by spending a few moments on the specific details of the mysteries revealed in Christ that this part of the Bible majors on. To begin with, from the following verse, verse 27. The glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Many see the Christian faith as primarily about obeying a set of rules supposedly sent to us by a God who's scarcely knowable and is so distant that he might as well be a million miles away. On the contrary, though, the Bible has all kinds of ways of describing the believer's relationship with the Lord that point to a completely different picture. He's pictured as being our Father. Jesus is described as our brother. The parallel with the close relationship of a marriage is often drawn. And in this verse, those ideas are complemented by an even more intimate picture. Christ not just with us always by our side, but more than that, Jesus living in the Christian believer by his Spirit. Christ in you. Sometimes even a person who seems to be blessed materially and with close and warm relationships as well will speak of a strong sense of looking for something more, a sense of emptiness within, something missing in their life. Like a jigsaw puzzle that's been passed on that doesn't seem to have all the pieces there. That's something you ever identify with. It's surely worth considering whether what you might be missing out might be the knowledge of God that's possible through Jesus' presence in the believer's life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The story is told of a Christian teenager suddenly hit by permanent and irreversible health limitations. She heard the family doctor say to her parents as they stood by the bedside, "She's seen her best days, poor child." "No, doctor," she insisted, "my best days are yet to come when I shall see the Lord in glory." And though Christians celebrate the difference that knowing Christ in us makes to life here and now, the Bible's promise is that that's just the first installment. There's the confident expectation and hope of more to come. That can make a real difference in our lives. There's a line from the film The Shawshank Redemption which says, "Fear can hold you prisoner, hope can set you free." Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then the last mystery disclosed in the Christian faith that the writer Paul highlights in these verses. When he speaks of the revelation of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and understanding. Wisdom's a quality that many of us would love, both for ourselves and for those around us. although it's a quality that's often in short supply. A tourist was lost and asked a local the quickest way to a nearby town. "Are you in a car or on foot?" he was asked. "A car," he replied. "Well, that's definitely the quickest way to get there," he was told. And in the far bigger and more important issues of knowing the best way to live and to find meaning, as I said earlier, many people have given up in looking for answers. But the gospel reports of Jesus' earthly ministry are peppered with comments about how people were amazed at the wisdom he offered. And his words of wisdom are still available to us in the gospel reports of his ministry. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, each of them now a chapter of our Bible. If you've never read one of these short books as an adult, I'd urge you to. Like many people, when I buy something new, I generally don't bother with the instructions. To begin with, I experiment with the controls, and sometimes before long, I've worked it out. On the occasions when that approach doesn't work, and maybe I even fear I might have broken it, well, I'll belatedly pick up the instruction leaflet or download something from the website. And for those of us here this morning, well, if we think we've got life sorted out on our own with no great mysteries to unravel, I suspect no amount of appeal from the preacher is going to persuade us to inquire further about the Christian faith. But if there are big questions and puzzles in your mind, like those I began with, about who, if anyone, made us, about life's meaning, about the future, the gospel accounts of Jesus' ministry, I reckon, are just about the best place to start to explore what the Christian faith has to say. Or speak to me afterwards. We sometimes put on a little course going through the basics of the Christian faith for a little group who are interested. One way or another, I'd encourage you not just to put these big questions aside. One of the Greek philosophers said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." And he was encouraging people not just to ignore those big questions of life, but to think about them, to explore for themselves questions of why we're here and the God who made us. As I said, the Gospels are just about the best place, I reckon, to start on that. And I'd encourage you, don't rest until you know something of what the Christian faith has to say, at least. It may be you don't accept it, but at least inquire and at least find out what Christians believe and think about whether or not it might make sense for you as well. Amen.